glad to be here. Today, I want to do my best to motivate you. How many of you could use a little motivation today? All right? I'm going to be a motivational speaker this morning, and I've got to be honest today. I've just perused the audience a little bit. Some of you need it today, I can just tell you. I'm pretty good by looking at faces. I can tell some of you need it. And so look around and tell your neighbor, I think he's talking to you. I'm not sure. Tell somebody, I think he's talking to you. I want to motivate you today. I really do. In fact, when I heard just a few moments ago that you guys in October are going to be going through the purpose-driven life, I think today's kind of can help get you kick-started and motivated in that direction. I'm excited about that. I want you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 9, verse 4. John 9, verse 4. Just hold your place there. I want to give you a little introduction. I want to talk about engaging your destiny today. Now, I've been preaching parts of this at my church for a few Sundays now, and we've had like three or four young couples get engaged. And I think they're misunderstanding my title. I don't know. But it's working in all kinds of strange and unusual ways. But we're talking about getting engaged with the destiny of God for your life. And as Brother Jim said, let me just explain something to you in case you don't know this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29, 30 in there somewhere, talks about the fact that God has a predetermined destiny for our lives. Look at your neighbor and say, God has a plan for your life. He really does. And you are not a mistake. I don't know about you, but I know that my great, 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 great grandpa did not evolve from a monkey. My family has no monkey in us, all right? My great, 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 great grandpa was named Adam. Somebody say amen. And so God created us, and we are fashioned in His image, and so we have a purpose and a plan. We have a predetermined destiny. Now, just because that is true does not guarantee your safe arrival into the destiny of God for your life. In fact, I've learned through life, through the many years of ministry and my own personal experience, that if we're not careful, we can become disengaged from God's plan and purpose for our life, and we can kind of be in spiritual neutral, if you will, and we might even be Christian, we might even, come to church, we might even, do some good deeds here and there, but we're really, on the inside, disengaged from God's destiny for our life. And so, this morning, I want to come to you and just hopefully motivate you and get you in some spiritual momentum building in your life. In fact, I want you to just get it in gear this morning. Amen. Tell somebody around you, say, we got to get it in gear. Come on, we got to get this in gear. We can't be a new. We got to get it in gear. In fact, I just looked at the clock and I've got an hour and 15 minutes. Y'all are in serious trouble this morning. In fact, we start our service at 10:30, and y'all start at 10. And I asked Pastor David about that on the phone the other day. He said, well, Pastor Sam, you're the one that started it at 10 a long time ago. I said, well, nothing's written stone. You can do whatever you want around here. I don't care. It just gives me more time to preach. Amen. Or get first in line at the buffet somewhere. I don't know. Maybe that's what you guys are thinking about this morning. Hey, we get first in line. But you know what? I've learned some things about our life, and I've learned some things about my life that if I'm not careful, I can really get disengaged from God's real purpose and plan for my life. In fact, I just turned 55 this year, and we just had our church anniversary, our 15-year church anniversary, and so I'm personally taking some real time to engage myself in the purpose and plan of God for my life. I look at, I don't want to fade out. I want to fire up. Amen. I don't want to retire. I want to refire. Amen. I don't want to go out just kind of ho-hum, the tune is dumb, the words don't mean a thing. I want the latter years of my life to be more impacting and more influential than all of the past. I want to be engaged with the destiny of God for my life. I want my family to be engaged with the destiny of God for their lives. I want my grandsons to be engaged with the destiny of God for their life. I don't want them to miss their moment. I want them to know that they were born with a purpose and they have a divinely orchestrated plan that God, before they were a twinkle in their daddy's eye, had a plan for their life. Am I motivating you yet? Okay, good. We're getting a good start here. In fact, if I begin to think I'm disconnecting with you, I'll lay hands on you suddenly or something here in a moment, okay? So you better stay away. Don't you fade off on me, because I can be a little frisky even at my older age. John chapter 9, verse 4, these are the words of Jesus, a powerful verse that I want us to embrace as our very own today. I want you to take this verse as yours. Even though Jesus said it about his life, I want you to take it. And here's what it says. Let's look at it this morning. Jesus said this in John chapter 9, verse 4. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Let's read it together out loud, either in your Bible up here on the screen. Let's all read it out loud and read it proud, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Now, I know that's a quote from Jesus, but understand something about Jesus. As the Bible says, as he was sent into the world, so we have been sent. And so this verse ought to be our verse. We need to claim this verse as our verse and be able to apply it in our life and realize that, hey, we've got a destiny and a plan that God has for us to fulfill. Amen. In fact, let me just break it down for you just a few moments. I'm going to give you some information that hopefully will lead to some inspiration in a moment. And then I'm just going to give you some things that will hopefully motivate you to engage into God's purpose and plan for your life. And then at the close of our morning this morning, I really believe that as we come together and as we pray together, God can really engage us afresh and anew in God's plan for our life, or push us to another gear of God's power and presence in our life. And so I have a sense of expectancy this morning about what God is up to in your life and what he's up to here at Church on the Rock in Quitman, Texas. Amen. So John chapter 9, verse 4, let me break it down. The first word, everyone say it. I. Say it again. I. My friend, understand something about that word. What does it say? What does it mean? It means personal responsibility. Jesus took personal responsibility for the destiny of God on his life. You know, we live in a world that likes to play the blame game. They like to blame somebody because they didn't do this, or they have excuses and reasons for not arriving at the destiny of God for their life. This reason, that reason, I was this, I was that. You know, it's my mama's fault, it's my daddy's fault, it's the government's fault, it's somebody else's fault. Oh, it's that old man you gave me, or that old lady you gave. Oh, it's somebody else's fault that I did not arrive at the destiny of God for my life. How many of you know that the reality is God created us each individually and importantly, and he has a purpose and a plan for our life, and we must take personal responsibility with the one life God gave us. Amen. Amen. Because at the close of it all, and there will be a close. We just heard just a few moments ago that one of your members graduated into eternity. There is a close. Now, we don't know when that close may be, but at the close of it all, we will stand before him, and we will not be able to call in other people and help them testify on our behalf. Say, well, it was really my fault that they didn't arrive at the destiny. So don't blame them for not arriving at the purpose and the plan of God for their life, because we'll stand before God and give an account of the one life. Everybody give me the number one. I got one life. Amen. And we're going to stand before God and give an account. I means personal responsibility. The next word is what? I got one person. I'll preach all day to engage you. The second word is what? Thank you, Mark. He heard it all day. Must. Must. Jesus said, I must. What does that mean? Absolute necessity. The reality is God didn't create you to be a bump on a log, to just sit soaking sour. The purpose and the plan of your God of God for your life is very important. You're important to God. Tell somebody, you're very important to God. He didn't waste his energy on you. You're very important to him. And as Jesus realized that he was very important to the purpose and plan of God for his life, he said, I must. We must take that same understanding and that same revelation in our heart and say, I must. It is an absolute necessity. that I arrive at the destiny of God for my life, that I fulfill His kingdom purpose for my life. Understand something. The older I get, the more I realize that other people's lives are affected by the choices I make and the things I do and the places I go and the life I live. And I must realize that there are many, many, many untold people on the other side of old Pastor Sam's obedient life. And our lives are here to make a difference. And we must understand that it is absolutely necessary that we take seriously the purpose of God and the plan of God for our life and engage ourselves in His plan. Work the works. Everyone say, work the works. This is where we get the word engage, because these two words, work the works, they're kind of the same, but they're different. And I'll explain it to you this way. It really means, as you see, engaged in the toil and effort of the purpose of God for my life. Now, let me ask you this. You may have somebody that works with you. Anybody, do you have any companions that work alongside you wherever you are in business and where you're not isolated? How many of you are employers? You have your employers. Any employers? You have employees. You know what I've learned about some people? Let's think about Friday. Everybody say TGIF. How many of you know what that really means, TGIF? Thank God it's Friday. What that really means is, I'm showing up, but I'm not really doing much. I'm already disengaging. And did you know there are a lot of people in life? In fact, you know, you may know some people work alongside you. They said, I went to work today. But they never really engaged in the business. They just show up. Show up is only a part of the process. You got to go to work, amen? You got to show up and then go to work. You've got to be engaged in the real toil and the effort and the energy and the purpose of God for your life. And that's what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about just showing up. Listen, there's a lot of people showing up, but there's an awful lot of people who are really still disengaged from God's purpose and plan for their life. Some people think showing up is what it's all about. Thank God we show up. But how many of you know the next thing is we've got to engage with God's purpose and plan. And I want to tell you, arriving at the destiny of God for your life is work. It's effort. You don't accidentally stumble in to God's purpose and plan for your life. And so we've got to work the work. And then, of course, He said, work the works of Him who sent me. Everyone say, sent me. Of course, what does that mean? It means that there is a divine, as I've already said, purpose and plan. I've been sent by God. In fact, the Bible says we are His ambassadors. And so there's the verse. That's what we need. In fact, if you don't remember anything else today, you go home with John chapter 9, verse 4, and you just begin to embrace it and meditate on it and memorize it. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming. Somebody say, the night is coming. I'm telling you, the night is coming. Jesus said it. I believe it. The night is coming when no man can work. And so we must take this verse and say, let this verse be my verse. Let this anthem be my anthem. Let me awaken every day. Let me wake up every morning with a sense of urgency to fulfill God's purpose and plan for my life. Amen. You know, most of you know that you've known us a while. You know we have a little lake house out on Lake Fork. And our dream was to have that back in our possession where we could come up and, you know, and just spend a little time up here. And so that inadvertently happened a little prematurely for us. We weren't quite prepared for that, but over a year ago it came up for rent. And so I couldn't get anybody in it. So finally, our friends, Conan and Shelley Welch, Conan and Shelley used to be the youth pastors here and do a lot of things here. They bought us a sign at Canton that said the Walker Family Vacation or something. I can't remember. And so I screwed it up on the front porch and I said, Beverly, it's serious now. We have a lake house. And so for over a year now, we've been coming up here quite often and spending time. Now I'm telling you, my church at home, they think Pastor Sam's wanting to retire. Where's Pastor Sam? Probably at the lake house. I told them yesterday or last Sunday, I said, listen, understand something. Pastor Sam's not ready to retire. So I'm just up here refiring, amen, hallelujah, and catching big bass at the same time, glory to God, hallelujah. And what I do to kind of soften that blow is I bring some of my church members up here, and they go, ooh, we're glad Pastor Sam has a lake house, glory to God. So I'm learning to work that a little bit. But there is, hey, I'm in no mode of gearing down. Amen? And you should not be either. And I want to tell you something today about the purpose and the plan of God for your life. Realize this, that, hey, wherever you are in life, whatever age you are, it's time to get it in gear. Amen? To engage the, you know, I preach a lot from the dictionary. Kind of helps me understand the word a little bit. You know, and look what engage means. It means to occupy oneself, to be involved with, to interlock as a gear, to enter into conflict. All of those thoughts certainly apply to the purpose and plan of God for our lives. We've got to be occupied with the business of God's purpose and plan. It ought to occupy our time, our energy, and our effort. I found out today there's a lot of things that can occupy our time there and our energy and our talents and our treasure, but all of them have a place in our life, many of them. But understand something, the priority of God and the call of God is at stake today. We must engage and be occupied with the business of God's purpose and plan. And let me just say this. Let me do a little side note. You know, when you melt this all down into a statement, into a thought, when you know, some of us, you know, we get so deep into the Word and that's good, and we're trying to figure out, you know, the every jot and tittle, and we're trying to figure out is Jesus coming back in 2012 and all those things. Let me tell you, melt it all down. You know what the real purpose of God for all of it's to know Him and to make Him known. If you want to melt it all down, it's just, I need to know Him more day by day, and not only know Him, but make Him known. You know, some people got the first part right. They spend all their time getting to know Him, and that's great, but how many of you know we ought to know Him, so the purpose of the next part is to make Him known. We've got to be occupied with. We've got to be involved. And here's where we get the title this morning. To interlock as a gear, to engage, to get it in gear, to enter into a conflict. Let me just say about that. How many of you know that fulfilling God's plan for your life is a battle?
Yes, it is.
We've got to be engaged with the purpose and plan of God for our life. And you look into Scripture and you see guys and apostles and different people who you can learn from their life. Peter's one of my big heroes because he's just a good old boy. He's just an old country. He could have been from East Texas. He liked to fish. He cussed a little bit. Just a few things about him just kind of makes me feel like, hey, I can relate to this guy. And how many of you know Jesus walked into his life there in Luke chapter 5, and he said, let me tell you, if you'll just follow me, I'm going to make you, you're fishing for fish, you're a lousy fisherman, you fished all night and caught nothing. If you'll just follow me, I'll lift you to another level. I'll engage you with the real destiny of God for your life. Hey, you can become a fisher of men. And the Bible says Peter left it all and he began to follow the Lord and he was engaged. And man, he said a lot of marvelous things, but he also got himself in trouble. You know, he tried to rebuke the Lord one day. That's not cool. And Jesus called him a devil. That'll deflate the purpose of God in your life. The Lord of glory said, you're a devil. And you know the story when Jesus was drawing near to the real purpose of God for his life, Peter said, I'll never deny you. But he did. Because he loved the Lord with all his heart, and even though he made a terrible mistake, the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. The trauma of his mistake caused him to weep bitterly. And then we find him disengaging. And in John chapter 21, even though Jesus was resurrected and his plan was being realized, Peter was disengaging from God's purpose. Why? Because of the mistake. And there he is back at the fish, Sea of Galilee fishing. And Sue, we were there. Where are you, Sue? We were there. The Dawsons, we were there, just close to where this probably all took place. And Peter had fished all night and caught nothing. And the resurrected Christ walked back in his life. And thank you, Jesus, began to re-engage him with the plan of God for his life. I don't know where you are today. I don't know about what's going on in your life, but you know what? God wants to engage you in the purpose and plan of God for your life. He wants to help you get it in gear or shift to a higher gear or move to another level of spiritual momentum in your life to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. I think of Paul the Apostle. I love the story of Paul. Paul was engaged in everything that he did. He was mentally, emotionally engaged in the process of what he thought was obeying God. And that was persecuting Christians. And you know the story, how Jesus spoke from heaven and he was smitten by the light and the voice from heaven said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." And I'm telling you, at that moment, when he had a revelation of Jesus Christ in his life, he began to engage in God's purpose and plan for his life. And if you were to read Philippians chapter 3 and many other of his writings, you would find that Paul the Apostle was fired up about the purpose of God for his life. And he said, "You know what? I'm forgetting what is behind. I'm pressing forward to that which is ahead. I want to get a hold of God like he got a hold of me. I want to fulfill his purpose and plan for my life." What great role models we have in Scripture, people who engage the purpose of God for their life. We need to do the same this morning. We must be busy about the work of the Lord. We must work the works of him who sent us while it is day. For the night is coming. Somebody say, "The night is coming." The night is coming. The night is coming when no man can work. You see, there may be many, many reasons why you and I would be tempted to disengage. You know, and even in this group of wonderful church family here this morning, I believe it's potentially true that some of you, if the truth were known, if I could come and look on the inside, look down in the spiritual gears of your life, we might find you really close to neutral. Come on, am I right? I know I'm right. I'm just getting older and I know these things. And God wants to engage us. Turn around, tell somebody else it's time to get it in gear. Come on, tell somebody. It's time to get it in gear. Amen. In fact, really, the time is now. When do I get it in gear? Everybody say, right now. Right now. And this morning, I want to give you 5 thoughts about why it's so important that we engage the destiny of God for our life. 5 very important reasons that ought to motivate us. Somebody say, motivate. It ought to move us and motivate us to a place of engaging the destiny of God and the purpose of God for our life. The first one is so very important that you and I, in fact, any one of these, if you'll embrace any one of these, they will really transform your life and begin to engage you with God's purpose and plan for your life. The first one is because the Father is watching. God is watching us, the creator of the universe, the one who created you. In fact, Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians 2:10, he said, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I want to tell you, the creator of the universe, God Almighty, is watching how we handle what he has invested in our lives. And the Bible says one day we will stand before him and give an account of the one life that we lived. And if for no other reason than the fact and the reality that God the Father is watching us, ought to move us and motivate us to the purpose and the plan of God for our life and be busy about the Father's business. I'm reminded of Jesus as a young teen, I guess a teenager. You know the story, I think it's in Luke, where the Bible says Joseph and Mary and the family, they were all going to Jerusalem for the Passover. Remember the story? They're going to Jerusalem for the Passover, and it's a big deal. People from everywhere are going. Now, I don't want to be too hard on Joseph and Mary, but they were on their way back home. It took them 24 hours to figure out Jesus is missing.
Just so
Come on. They needed to go through. I don't know. Maybe they thought, it takes a village or something, and they thought that he was with family and friends, but they're on their way home, a day's journey. My divine imagination gets the best of me sometimes. I see them walking. They've been gone a day. Mary goes, Joe, have you seen Jesus? Mary goes, well, now that you mention it, I'd seen him for a while. That's my divine imagination. Had to go something like that, didn't it, Jeanette? Jesus, where are you, Jesus? Nobody had Jesus. And so they head back to Jerusalem, and they find him after 3 days there with all the religious leaders. He's talking to them and questioning them, and they're questioning him. Mary and Joseph, Jesus, we were worried about you. Really? You'd have thought that had kicked in about 3 days ago. We were worried about you. And he said, Mom and Daddy, don't you know and remember who I am? I must, there's that word again, be about my Father's what? Business. He knew the Father was watching. And he had to be about the Father's business. And you and I must be embrace the reality that God has a purpose and a plan for our life. And he wants us to engage with that destiny for our life. And we've got to understand that the Father is watching. Amen. Amen. Number two. If that one doesn't do it, this one surely should. We engage the destiny of God for our life and get in gear with God's purpose and plan, not only because the Father is watching, but number two, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. Tick-tock. The only thing you can't get back, one of the only things you really can't ever get back in life is just a moment ago. You can't get it back. You can't get yesterday back. You can't get this morning back. It's a valuable commodity time is. And Jesus, one of the really the reasons he mentioned, I must be about the works of him who sent me. Why, he said the reason? While it is day. The night is coming. Somebody say it again. The night is coming. The night is coming when no man can work. Did you know we're living in the last hour? You think, well, people have been saying that forever, but understand your prophecy. Understand the prophetic word of God. When the church was born in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, Peter preached, he quoted Joel 2, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he said, this is that. Somebody say, this is that. We're living in the last hour, and understand something about God. In fact, if I had time, we could look at God's prophetic time clock when the church was born. Understand something. God took the time clock and he held on to it and it stopped. The prophetic time clock stopped, and there is an age of grace called the church, an opportunity, an undetermined amount of time that we do not know we have. Only God knows how long we have to fulfill his kingdom purpose for our life. We do not know how much time we have, so we must be busy about the Father's business. Why? Because the clock is ticking. Well, tomorrow I'll do it. Some of the younger generation might be tempted to say, well, I got a few wild oats. I'm going to sow a few wild oats and kind of do it my way for a while. Then I'm going to come and serve the Lord. You know what the problem is with that mindset? Those wild oats grow up and start producing fruit. And some of them look at us and go, Daddy, Mama. Hello? And so the clock is ticking. Somebody say the clock is ticking. We've got to engage the purpose and the plan of God because the clock is ticking. 1 John chapter 2 says, my little children, it is the last hour. In thinking of those thousands of people and really hundreds of thousands of people who were affected by the tragedy of 9/11. Beverly and I too, and you know, there's some things in life you can remember where you were no matter what. I remember even as a first grader where I was when John F. Kennedy was shot. I can take you to the very spot. And I can take you to the very spot in my home when I turned on the news and I saw the second plane hit the tower live on TV. And I was paralyzed there in my chair for the rest of the day by the horrific attack on America. And you and I both know when those people got up that morning, when New York awoke, just like any other day. Another day at the grindstone. And all of a sudden, their world turned upside down. The clock is ticking. And so we must engage the destiny of God for our life. The time is now. The clock is ticking. And number three here, let me give you this one. This ought to rattle us. This ought to engage us today. Why should we engage the destiny of God for our life? Not only because the Father's watching and He's looking at us to see how we handle what He's given us and what He's created us for us to do. Number two, the clock is ticking. We don't know how much time we have to fulfill His kingdom purpose. But number three, let me tell you this. The enemy is engaging. You see, while we sit here in the comfort of this wonderful, beautiful sanctuary, and we worship the Lord, and we enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and go eat our meal after church, and we enjoy the Dallas Cowboys tonight. Understand something. The enemy is strategizing and scheming his way into your world, into your family, into your kids, and into your grandkids, trying to undermine them. Now, here's the devil's real plan for your life. You know, the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But understand, why does he want to do that? Just because he loves to kill people, he loves to destroy. No, he wants to the ultimate purpose is keep you disengaged from God's purpose for your life. And to distract you with unhealthy affections and unholy things in your life and things that would undermine and disengage you from God's purpose and plan for your life. And Peter said, understand this. You know, Peter learned a few things down the rocky road of experience. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are being experienced like with your other brethren in the world. The enemy is engaging. And you know, as Beverly and I have become grandparents, all the more reason we look at our grandson and I say over him, the devil cannot have him. He's fearfully and wonderfully made. He has a plan. God has a plan for his life. And as his grandpa, my job is not just to spoil him, which I do. I love that boy. Whoo, I just get downright goofy. And I don't know how on earth, Beverly, we're going to handle number two. How can there be that much love to go around for such a precious little thing? But as we become grandparents now, we realize our responsibility over them is not just to spoil them, but we love them. And by the grace of God, we encourage their parents. And, you know, in fact, little Ty, I sent a video of little Ty. He was doing, what is it? I may never march in the infantry, ride on the cavalry, shoot the artillery. Yes, sir. He would go, yes, sir. And my heart went, ah. He's in the Lord's army. I'm serious, man. I'm telling you. Woo, glory to God. But the enemy does not like my grandson. He wants to steal him and to kill him and destroy him. his parents and his grandparents. I've got to be strong and forthright and overwhelmingly and determining in their heart to engage the destiny of God for their lives. Amen. Woo. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The time is now. The Father's watching. The clock is ticking. The enemy is engaging. And number four, this ought to move us and motivate us into the destiny of God for our life. The lost are dying. The lost are dying. People who do not know Christ are dying. And they're going to a devil's hell. But understand something about hell. Hell was not made for you and me. I said hell was not made for you and me. Hell was not made for your family. It was made for the devil and his fallen angels. Understand something. Hell was made. In fact, and you ever heard this? Somebody say, how could God, a loving God, send somebody to hell? How could that ever happen? God never sent anybody to hell. People go there out of choice. But we've got to be the gap standard. Whose motto in life is more for heaven and less for hell. That's the reality. Is that without Jesus Christ in their heart, they're going to hell. You know, you don't have to be ugly. But you can tell the truth. The truth is, to all your friends and family who are lost without Christ, they're going to go to hell if they die before they give their lives to Christ. And we must engage in the destiny of God for our life. Why? Because the lost are dying. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He said, it's not God's will that anybody should perish. Amen. And then finally today, we engage the purpose of God and the destiny of God for our life. Not only because the lost or dying. But let me lift it up a notch. The Spirit is moving. Oh, somebody said, well, now wait, preacher. I don't know if the Spirit's moving. Well, you're just not in the flow. Because the Holy Spirit has never stopped moving.
Amen.
And you know, we're so finite in our thinking. You know what we think about a move of the Spirit is? Ooh, we had church today. The Spirit is moving.
Come on.
And if that doesn't happen, we walk out. I guess the Spirit wasn't moving. Is that our understanding of the Spirit moving? Think of Acts chapter 4. Now, Acts chapter 2, woo! The Spirit is moving. Forking tongues of fire sitting on people's head. Now that's a move of God. 3,000 plus people born again. Now we know the Spirit's moving because people are getting saved. And could I tell you, all over the world today, God is drawing by His Spirit people into His kingdom. Did you know God is drawing your lost friends and family members to God? The Spirit is moving. We live in this last hour. We've been graced by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, not to just have a good church service, but to be empowered from on high to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Go to Acts chapter 4. Persecution's hitting the fan, and they're still praying, and they're still seeking God, and the Spirit is still moving. Amen. We just got to get in the flow. Amen. Just get in the flow. The time is now. We've got to engage ourselves with God's purpose and plan for our life. We can't afford to disengage. Amen. We can't afford it. Let me give you one more thought, and I've got some more things I could say, but I'm going to give you one more thing. And it's like first gear. First gear is we got to realize that God has a plan for our life. realization. It's what I call the aha moment. Everyone say aha. You ever had an aha moment? You ever stick your finger in the light socket? Oh, aha. You learn some things. This morning as we close, I believe this could be an aha moment where you and I come to the place where we realize, aha, God's not finished with me yet. God, forgive me for disengaging at this most critical moment in the history of our world. God, forgive me for being distracted from the real purpose of God for my life, for allowing the enemy to work in my life to the degree that I disengage. It's not too late to really get it in gear. Let's stand together this morning. And I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm going to ask you to engage the presence of God here for the next few moments. I'm going to ask you not to check out. See, right now the tendency with some is, oh, what about the kids in the nursery? Oh, where am I going after this is over? No, stay engaged here. The Spirit is moving. The Spirit of God is moving through this congregation, working a work, convicting our lives. The Father is watching. The clock is ticking. The enemy is engaging. We've got to realize that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's engage His presence for a few moments. And I want you right now to begin to thank God. Just to begin to engage Him right now and begin to thank Him that His purpose and plan is alive and well in your life. Come on, everyone, right now. It's time to engage the presence of God. You've been listening. Now let's act on it. Let's respond to the Word of God and just begin to say, thank you, Lord, for your purpose and plan in my life. Lord, help it begin to be realized in me. Help me begin to realize more and more what you've called me to do and what you want me to be and where you want me to go and how you want me to live, Lord God. Lord, I want to be engaged. I want to know you more and I want to make you know wherever you've planted me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I got to be honest. I didn't know you were coming, and I didn't know. I was just kind of coming to church, but all of a sudden you've said some things that have challenged me and motivated me. If the reality were known, there's some areas of my life where I'm disengaged from His purpose and plan for my life. If that's you today, be bold today. One of the first things you've got to do in order to engage is you've got to realize, hey, I'm not really engaged. I've got to be engaged with His purpose and plan for my life. God has a plan for my life. And if you're here today and you can say, Pastor Sam, I just today want to make a real commitment to engage the destiny of God for my life, where I'm at, where God has planted me. I'm not going to make any excuses. I'm not going to point the fingers. I'm not going to give any excuses for not engaging. And today, I want to begin a new journey of engaging the destiny of God for my life. If that's you, lift your hand wherever you are. Amen. All over this room today. All over this room, hands are going up. Let's come to the altar today. Let's make a step forward, a step of faith. Come up in this altar today. And as you're coming, you just say, God, I'm engaging with your purpose and plan for my life. Come on. Come on. I'm engaging with the purpose and the plan of God for my life. I'm coming to you today, Lord. I'm coming to you today, Lord. You know, there may be someone here, you've been disengaged from the real work of God and the plan of God for your life. You may be here today and you've never given your life to Christ. Today you can engage Him by saying, Lord, here am I. I want you in my life. You can do that today. Just say, Lord, I invite you into my life to be the Lord and the leader of my life wherever you are. Father, I thank you today for the word of the Lord. And now I want everyone in this altar and all of us in the sanctuary, let's pray this prayer together. Pray this prayer out loud with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That you created me for a reason. I've got a destiny upon my life. I want to engage my life to do the work that you've called me to do. In Jesus' name. And this hour, this day, this moment, I give my life to you. I trust you. I believe you. In Jesus' name. Let the passion of God burn bright. Let the light come on. In Jesus' name. For your glory. Now let's just spend a few moments just sealing the deal here, church. In this altar, let's just spend a few moments saying, so be it in my life. So be it in my life. You may be here today and carrying a big burden about things you've done, mistakes. Hey, listen, be free in Jesus' name. Just be free in Jesus' name. Don't let that drag you down and knock you out of gear. Be free in Jesus' name to fulfill God's plan for your life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just begin to worship Him just a little bit. Let's worship Him. Church, worship Him. We thank you today, Lord. We bless your name. We love you, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you that you are faithful to complete the good work that you have begun in us. Father, we just make the conscious choice right now to say, Lord, do in me what needs to be done. And Father, help me to do my part. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it. Oh, Father. I thank you that you did not bring us this far just to leave us where we are. And Father, help us to truly engage the destiny that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.